excited to do this. So
awesome.
Yeah, I'll just say something for the listeners and we'll go from there. All right, welcome everybody to our interview with Tribe Games. We are the Idiot Savants. I am Ryan Wolf. I have
Colin Gifford
and
Troy Osborne.
All right, and we have the sole representative of Tribe Games. Is that correct?
Yes, that
okay,
is correct.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Charles McGregor. I am the sole developer at Tribe Games, and I made the game Hyperdyst.
All right, so why don't you start off and tell the listeners a little bit about what the game is and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah. So Hyperdot is an action arcade game where you dodge everything. So you play as a dot, and you want to avoid all the different shapes that enter the arena. There's tons of different things called modifiers, which change the way the game's played. So you can have players be twice as fast, twice as slow, change the arena itself. So it's like if there's an ice arena where you can't stop moving, or a dark arena. And then on top of all of that, there's also a level editor, so you can make your own levels.
When we first fired up this game, one of the first things I thought of was aesthetically, it looks like it has a lot of solid colors with gradients and stuff like that. And it looks a little bit like N+, just in terms of the colors. Was
definitely
that was an influence for
you?
Oh
yeah, that was totally an influence.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
A lot of the aesthetic, I was like, I was really inspired, especially by N++, where you can
yes.
change the different colors and such.
Mm-hmm.
Super inspired by that to really have those like bold contrasting colors and really like distinct. Oh, yes, this is clearly the background. This is clearly
right.
enemy. Stuff like
right.
that.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that came through for sure. Because that is
sweet.
Yep. When we were playing, I was like, man, this looks like N+. Doesn't play anything like N+, but definitely, yeah. I was like, this is awesome. And I think we had just a little short conversation on Twitter. You did the music too?
Yes. So yeah, I did all the art, music, programming, design, all the different aspects of the game, itself. I did. But I am being published by a publisher. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Charles is the guy.
The guy. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. That is a really a huge amount of work to put that stuff together, and I loved the music.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Seriously, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first things when the music started playing. I was like, "This is really fucking good."
Yeah, I was super super jazzed. I was playing at home with the kids and the wife watching, and they were into it too. And
yeah,
sweet, awesome. That's awesome to hear.
Colin and I played it together here, mm-hmm. and we recorded a video of us playing it, and we were planning on maybe peppering in some of the gameplay to the video of this interview, just so our viewers can see, you know, what the game is and stuff as we're talking about it. And I think even when we were doing that recording,
yeah.
I was like, this fucking music though.
Yeah.
I need this on Spotify.
It's intense
so good.
For sure. Yeah.
Awesome. That's so awesome. Yeah, I've actually for the longest time there was actually only one song in the game.
Okay.
It was for like 2.5 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I kept on trying to make a new song, but like that one song in the game was it was just like, oh, this is what Hyperdot is. I have
right.
to meet this
right.
level. I eventually figured out what kind of style I wanted, which was more like chill, not super like, oh my goodness, I'm on the edge of my seat. This is like
yeah.
Doom 2016. but something where it was to get you motivated and moving, but not to like freak you out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there is plenty of freaking out in the gameplay.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it does not need also freak out music.
Yes.
How did you get into game development, man? Have you worked on other games, or is this kind of your first go?
So this is like my first like really big solo project that I did.
Okay.
I've worked on a couple of smaller projects before that I've released on the App Store and the Google Play Store and the Windows Phone.
You're talking to the audience of the Windows Phone right here. Ryan and I are Windows Phones freaks.
Yeah, for sure.
Both of our Android phones look like Windows phones.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that is totally. Yeah, I'm all about that Windows Phone.
That's awesome, man.
I love it. So I have a couple of games that were previously on the App Store
are
no longer up. Actually, my first fully released game is only available on the Windows 10 store right now.
Awesome.
Called Glitch in the System.
Okay.
I've been working on games since I was I keep on trying to remember the actual age I was. I believe I was 11.
Wow.
I think it was when I was 8 was when I approached my dad. He's a computer scientist, so he knows how to. I approached him and said, "Hey, Dad, can you teach me how to make games?" But it wasn't until I was 11 where I was actually making games.
That's super cool, man.
That's awesome.
That's insane, man. 11 years old making games. That's impressive.
We couldn't set up a fucking Skype call and this dude's making games.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool. That's super cool. Well, I've been leading the charge here. You guys got some questions?
I have a few. I know you really like N++ and stuff like that. What's your favorite game, of all games, to rule them? One game to rule them all, if you can do that.
Troy asks every dev this.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I could narrow it down. If you ask me this 5 minutes later, I'll probably change.
Yep. Okay. That's okay.
One game to rule them all. If I was in a desert island scenario and I only had one game I could choose, it would probably be Tetris.
Good choice.
Yes.
Yeah, I've bought Tetris on so many different platforms at this point. If I were to be my favorite, The Last of Us was also a really good game. I can't anything really Naughty Dog makes. I'm just inspired by. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard question.
I agree.
Yeah, they are masterpieces for sure whenever Naughty Dog puts out a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to HyperDot a little bit. When we first fired up, when Colin and I were playing, one thing that I thought of, back when I was in high school, there was a game, and it was just a flash game. You went to a website online called, it was just a red square in the middle, and it was basically what your game is, just avoid the obstacles, but there was only one level.
Sure.
Are you talking about the jumping game with the music?
No, there was no jumping.
Okay.
That I'm might thinking be the one the Colin played.
The impossible game that was on Xbox.
No. Yes. No, this one was just a flash game on PC. Okay. You just went to the website. What were some of the gameplay influences for HyperDot?
Sure. So one that is commonly found, and I totally took inspiration from, was Super Hexagon.
Okay.
Super Hexagon, the frantic, just one more.
Frantic.
Just frantic. One more.
That's the first thing I thought of playing this game. I was frantic? This seems like a big influence, so I love frantic.
Sweet. Super Hexagon was a huge influence, especially that cycle of being able to be I just lost. Okay, I'm getting back in. Being able to do that and have that one more go kind of feeling was, super influential in terms of the design and the overall game loop in the game.
Is that why you made the levels so short in terms of the time frame? Just to kind of get people into that one more kind of mentality?
Definitely. Especially in that the single player levels. I wanted to make sure that you're not there. I don't want to overstay my welcome in any of these different patterns and things. So I want to have it so that things last from as little as 10 seconds, but the longest level is a minute.
Okay.
I don't want to have
that far.
Shit,
it's intense. You're just waiting for that. Come on, clock, get down already. Definitely an intense feeling.
Actually, it's funny. A lot of people actually say that the time takes forever.
It does.
10 seconds seems so long. Yeah. It seems that was 30 seconds. What are you talking about with 10 seconds?
Slows down time around you, because when you're so focused on those shapes coming at you, and like, I'm gonna tell you right now, I am fucking terrible at this game. I am so bad. Colin, when Colin and I, we were just playing back and forth for a good portion of the video that we recorded, and like, I'm like, dude, I can't. I just failed this 25 times, and I'm trying to like play better for the people that I know are going to eventually watch this video. I'm like, oh shit. Like, this is not something that I maybe want to record myself doing.
This is a controller that Ryan would break his control, or a game Ryan would break his controller to.
For sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, that's too good.
One thing that I found really funny was I was going through the levels. I felt like I was doing pretty okay. And then I hit like the point of this is getting hard. Then I died. I don't remember what the amount of times is, but then you get that achievement for dying that many times before completing a level.
It's 10.
I was like, this is awesome.
It's 10 in a row.
Second level, Ryan?
I definitely have two different achievements tied to that.
Man. Yeah, that achievement is 10, and I totally got it. That was not Colin that pulled that achievement. That was me. There's a lot of, like you said, modifiers in the game that change up the main gameplay loop. How hard were some of those things to input into the world? Because it seems like some of them home onto your player, your little, your player character's model in the game. And some of them just kind of randomly go wherever they go. How hard was that stuff to do?
A lot of the enemies were actually fairly straightforward. They are all somewhat variants of the square.
Okay.
So the square just goes in a straight line. It doesn't care what's going on, and it just goes in a straight line. But the Pentagon, for example, the only true difference between the Pentagon and the square is that Pentagon points at you when it first spawns, and then it just goes in a straight line.
Okay.
And all of these are somewhat, or all of the enemies are somewhat similar to that, where the triangles will just go in a straight line, but like, we'll go towards the player, but then afterwards we'll just act like a square and then go off the screen.
So okay.
The most complicated enemy is the cross, and that one splits. But then things that it splits into are squares, which go in a straight line.
Okay.
There are a lot of everything is like around that idea, but I wanted to play around with the patterns in which they're motivated to move, versus necessarily like coming up with crazy. Oh, here's a weird pattern thing going on and stuff like that.
Yeah, whenever the things are moving on the screen, like, I never felt like I got gypped by the game, right? Like, I failed because I suck. Like, and I need to get better. And I liked that about it, that it wasn't like, well, that shouldn't have done that. I've never seen that model move in that way before. That's, you know, that shape move in that way before. It seemed very predictable in a way that you could work your way through the levels.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great to actually hear from you. that was totally one thing that I wanted to do, was make sure that it didn't feel like, oh, yeah, that was the game's fault, or I didn't mean to do that. So I wanted to make sure that even given the limited amount of enemies, because there's only 5 enemies in the game.
Right.
But like, I wanted to make sure that I explored a wide variety of what the different enemies can be, and then like figure out, oh, what happens if I put 2 different types of enemies together and stuff like that.
To go off the enemies, moving on to kind of the modifiers, how did some of those ideas for the modifiers, like what could be done to help the player character defeat, you know, because you don't have any weapons or anything, you can't shoot, you just avoid things. So how did the modifiers come about for you?
There's like a wide variety of inspirations that I've gotten from with my modifiers. The first couple were the more like low-hanging fruit ones, where it was like, make the player twice as big, make them twice as slow.
Right.
Like, yeah, that was like things that I already were able to do. Probably one of the more standout ones is dark mode.
That's really cool.
Dark mode. It's tough though. Like, yeah. I zipped into that thing and didn't even see it.
Yeah. with dark mode, I was actually inspired by a plugin that I use in near like a lot of different projects that I've used, called Super Fast Offshadows. I use, I'm a Unity developer.
Okay.
And it's basically it's like a 2D lighting system and stuff. I asked myself, well, how can I use that in HyperDot in like a game where it's like a top down, you're just avoiding things. So like being able to have it so that the light is yourself and like you're just trying to avoid these incoming enemies coming from the shadows. That was like super, like that visual was something that I really liked. And then one of the more obvious inspirations is SuperDot, where time moves only when you move.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just like a ton of different like inspirations that I gotten from, sometimes from like, I springboarded off of suggestions from, friends or people who tested out the game.
Okay.
Just like trying to figure out, well, what are some things that would, I can do to emphasize the only thing that you can do, which is move.
Right.
How can I like emphasize, play around with that, mess around with that to make it interesting and such?
Right, right. Yeah, that dark mode thing, when you first load into that level and you start moving and you realize you're the thing that's moving the light, is like,
yeah.
The contrast in that looks so cool. Yeah. And then as you move your character and the shapes move around you, like the shadows play off each other in really cool ways around the edges where it starts to get dark. And like aesthetically, I was like, this is badass. This
awesome.
Is awesome. I was so happy. Like that was just a really cool moment to find in the game. How far do you think you made it, Troy?
I made it to, I know I'm past level 30. Okay. Which was an achievement for me. I was like, I'm going this far at least.
There you go.
And, at first it was like, well, I don't even know how many levels there are.
Right.
And I was playing through it, and I'm like, man, this is getting pretty hard, really fast. I probably should go to bed. I got work tomorrow. The wife already went to bed.
Right.
All right, three more levels.
Yeah.
All right, two more levels after those three. All right, one more. One more. Okay, I'm going to bed now. Turn off the Xbox. And it was a awesome night, not only because it's our first, like, not our first, but a game that I got to play early as a, you know, so we can talk to you about it. And it was super cool to get that experience early. And then to know that not that many people have played it yet. And I mean, it's a great game.
Yeah,
and I said there's a game coming out and it's awesome and you're gonna want to play it because it's super cool.
Awesome, thanks so much. I really appreciate y'all taking the time to like play it and such.
We
appreciate you letting us do that.
Sure. Cool. And I appreciate it. Appreciate you making a great game. Like for sure. I can't wait for it to come out. Like,
So. When I first saw or heard of HyperDot, I guess, it was during E3, and I watched almost all of Microsoft's Mixer E3 coverage.
Yes.
And so you were at E3, correct? And they chatted with you. How was going to E3 and like presenting your game? Was it in a playable state there?
Yes, it was in a playable state. Presenting at E3 was like mind-blowing. Childhood dreams, I've been like watching E3 for years, and just being like, oh yes, that is the distant land where games are announced, and people go there to announce things, and that's somewhere they come from the mountaintops.
Right. yes, that's how we think of E3. It's our video game Super Bowl.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But like being able to like. Not only being able to go to E3, but showing my game at E3 and then showing my game at E3 with Microsoft at their on the Microsoft Theater, and their stage was just like, what does nothing made sense? I was able to, like, I was at my booth, and then to the left of us was Ghost Recon. I was like, what?
Wow.
That doesn't make sense. And then in front of us was Madden. And like, none of this makes sense.
Right.
Is this real life? I'm just super fortunate that we had the opportunity to work with Microsoft. And we had a fairly substantial booth, actually, where we were also showing off showing multiplayer and showing off the adaptive controllers.
Nice.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, we were able to, we brought the adapter controllers and a couple accessories. One was like a Wii nunchuck kind of accessory where you can use a joystick and then put it in any orientation that you want. Okay. Just in case you can't hold a traditional controller. The other one was a foot controller. It was the 3D rudder foot controller.
Okay.
You can use your feet and then lean left, right, forward, back to move the dot around.
Whoa. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, and it's definitely an interesting experience. There's some people who, like, prefer that experience over even the traditional controller.
That's crazy. Oh, like, I feel like that'd give me, like, a leg cramp, like, trying to focus my feet like that. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. But it was super awesome to be able to show off all that stuff and then, go on the Mixer stream. We actually had one, the first time that it happened was a complete surprise. We were not expecting it. They just came over and was like, all right, we're going to be doing an interview. I was like, huh? And then we did an interview. But the other one was more planned. We had forethought, and we actually brought an accessibility expert because we were working with making sure that like HyperDot was or is accessible to a wide variety of players and such.
That's awesome.
That's super cool. That is definitely, we've been doing this podcast for about 2 years and we've chatted with a handful of devs, but I've never done anything that cool. We've been to a couple Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
But not to nice. E3. E3.
Go to Comic-Con and hand out some stickers and some flyers. That's it.
Crazy Train of Thought. Here you go. Just listen to Crazy Train of Thought. Shameless self-promotion. Unfortunately.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah. So were people able that went to E3 able to come up and try and play HyperDot? And did you get any good feedback from them there?
Yeah, definitely. At the E3 demo, we had multiplayer up, so you could play all the different multiplayer games. We just took out the ability to switch out modifiers because we don't want you to stay there the entire time.
Right, right.
We got a lot of great feedback, especially this was actually the first time that we met with the person that we worked with on the accessibility angle, okay. Cherry Ray Thompson. They were able to help us out with just like having like ideas on how to utilize like some of these the different accessories we had with the adaptive controller. Cherry actually on stream had the idea like, oh, you could use the foot controller with your arms. So Jerry was playing it with their arms leaning left and right and such. It was like mind blowing. It was like, wow, we didn't even think of doing that. It was called the foot. We didn't think of the arms. That was a blast to do. And then a lot of people came in and it was fun to see people play and have a good time.
That's super cool. Definitely. We might be able to go to E3 this year through a friend of a friend. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
That is if the coronavirus doesn't make its way over to that theater by then. If it does, then I guess we'll just hang out here.
I'm okay watching it from here at that point.
Yeah.
It's pretty comfy on these couches.
So the game, the HyperDot, releases on the 31st. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Okay. So in just a couple days. And do we have like a pricing range we're thinking? I'm sure you have a price picked out.
So it's coming out, $20.
Okay.
And it'll be out on PC, Mac, Linux, on Steam and Itch. And then on Xbox and Windows 10 as Play Anywhere. So if you get on one, you get on the other.
Awesome. Yes.
yes.
I love Windows.
I was definitely going to ask about a PC version because I saw it on the Xbox store. Obviously, that was the code that we had. And I definitely want to try this with a mouse.
Because
I'm so garbage with a controller. I'll see.
Yeah. He was zipping into so many things that were like still. And I'm like, how did you even manage to like do that?
My problem is I live my life at 11, Colin. So don't just like subtly move the controller. I'm all or nothing.
Yeah, full force.
You need to play this on the Switch.
Yeah.
That Switch controller would do it for you.
Yep, that would.
Sure. 0 or 11. That's it. That's all you got.
Oh man, yeah, I cannot wait to play more of this game and to play it on PC for sure. I am very, very excited for that. Do you guys got any more questions here?
One thing I wanted to say that I was excited about because my wife was excited about a game again, and she doesn't get excited for very many games. One, she wanted to play it. Like she snatched the controller out of my hand. Which was kind of cool. And then the other was, I realized that I can play this with one hand. And she's like, well, you can rub my back with the other hand. And she was even more excited at that point. So it's a win-win. Like, I get to play video games and she gets her back rubbed and we're all happy.
That's awesome.
That was actually something that a lot of people commented. I've shown the game off at like a couple of local breweries for like small events and stuff. And then people were like, oh, I don't have to put down my beer in order to play this game.
Same concept.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's cool. With the level editor, how did that come about? Like, was that something that you knew you wanted to have in from the beginning?
No.
Okay.
It was a product of me being overambitious. I originally said I'm gonna have over 100 levels. Like when I first made it, or like early stages, let's say a week, 2 weeks in.
Okay.
I'm gonna have over 100 levels, and I'm gonna be done by the end of the summer. And then you know, three and a quarter years later. But I realized after making or like attempting to make the first level that it was. I needed some type of level editor, and it was going to take so long where, like, I make a small adjustment, click the play button, wait for it to load, go and navigate to the place where I can actually play it, then test it, and then be like, oh, shoot, I forgot to move a thing, and then stop, and then go in, and then try and remember, what is the line or the one enemy that was supposed to move at this point, and then go do it again and over and over and over.
Okay. So you had to do it with every level?
That was where I would have had to do that.
Okay.
One of my friends, Lane Davis, I work with him on other projects and stuff. He was like, you're going to have to make a level editor. I was like, no, I don't have to do that. But yeah, after that experience, I was like, yeah, I kind of have to.
So it was a tool for you to help build the game?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was totally a tool to help me build it. And then I really did want to make it so that all of the levels that I made are made using that tool so that you can also make the same kind of levels and such. So that like the single player campaign is like a springboard for like, oh, what if you did these things and did all these kind of things and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a huge boon in order to be able to actually play, like just press the start button when I'm like, oh, okay, I'm done. I want to test this.
Right.
And I take it right quick and I'm like, oh, never mind. Hold on. I can change something. And then it's immediately right back there. It's definitely like I've learned that working or like having that level editor inspired me to make different kinds of levels because it was just easier to do some things.
Right.
Every time that it slowly improved on the level editor and things like that.
That's super cool. Yeah. Some of my favorite N+ and N++ levels and even Trials when that had a level editor was like some of the coolest maps were user made maps.
Definitely. Yeah.
So what's the plan for like user created content through the level editor?
So right now, unfortunately, all of it is local.
Okay.
I am trying to look into like solutions to have it so that it's online, but unfortunately I am only one person.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out like ways of being able to support that and whatnot. But yeah, just locally for now.
Okay.
I had a couple more questions that I just forgot.
Okay.
I do that a lot. How many levels are there in the campaign?
There are over 100 levels.
Oh,
you what? You're not even going to tell me?
I did make the goal.
You're not even going to tell me. And then two, have you beat every level?
Yes, I have beaten every level.
That means it's possible.
It is possible.
It is possible.
I have a goal, and there I will complete that goal.
Yes, it's possible.
It is possible. The quickest that I have, not to you know make it seem like your accomplishments mean nothing. No,
don't shit on me. It's okay.
Yeah, it's
all right. I'm used to this.
I've beaten all of the levels is an hour and a half.
Wow.
Holy shit. Wow.
Are you playing with the PC at that point?
I'm using a controller.
Okay.
I am very much a controller. I grew up on like a console based stuff, but
awesome.
Super agnostic in terms of being able to play on PC and awesome. The game actually on PC, not on the Windows 10 version because there are some hardware limitations. Okay. But you're able to use like a wide variety of different inputs. So you can use like a traditional controller, a mouse, keyboard, touch, that works. Tilt also works.
Oh, cool.
Stylus, if you have your like your Surface stylus and stuff. And then the other big one is eye tracking. So you can use.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, you can use.
I was just
like,
eye tracking.
That's awesome. So you can just look in a spot where there's nothing.
So you have to use your peripheral to like see the enemies coming in, and then you have to look where you want it to go. Oh man!
Wow.
That would give me a headache. You'd be so focused too, because you can't look anywhere else. You just have to stare.
Like. Yeah, if you blink, it just explodes.
Yeah, it's totally a different feeling where it's like you're doing essentially the opposite of what you normally do. Where if you look at an enemy, you're like, oh, okay, don't touch that, and then you move. But like, yeah, when in eye tracking, you're like, oh, what's that? And then, yeah, it's too late.
Oh, man.
That's awesome, though.
That's super cool. In the multiplayer mode, it was primarily me and Colin, but it looked like it was four-player.
Yes.
Is that local co-op, or will there be some sort of, I would imagine, like an online component would probably have to be tied together with the level sharing thing, but is that local co-op only?
Yeah, it's local, but you're able to like change up all the modifiers and such, and then there's one of fan favorite modes is just random, where it changes the mode every time that you click restart.
Yeah, that was. Oh, every time you click restart, it changes.
Yes,
that'd be nice.
Every time you click restart.
That'd be fun for sure.
Oh man, I didn't know. I just
think we need to play Hyperdot when we're done.
Right. We didn't click random. I had assumed random was it would throw you into an instance and then you'd have to back out and then throw you into another instance when you clicked random again. But every time, would be a challenge for sure. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's super like party mode kind of atmosphere and such. Yeah. And then you can also have it so that there's like a semi-tournament style thing where you're trying to get the first of five wins or stuff like that. Tons of different like settings to tweak there.
Yeah, yeah, we did do some of the multiplayer and tweaked a few of the modifiers and stuff like that. So yeah, we'll have to play around with that a little bit more. We did have fun having the turning on the collision mode. So, like, pushing each other into the enemies was a good time.
Yep, sumo fights are real fun.
Yes, yep. And then the spike version of that, I'm not sure what the, like, where you reduce in size as you go, that was a lot of fun, too, for sure.
Awesome.
So, Hyperdot's coming out very, very soon. And do you have anything else on the horizon, or do you have like any post-release stuff planned for the game?
Yeah, for post release stuff, I'm planning on like supporting the game. So any bugs that you come across, let me know. Okay. Tweet at me at Tribe Games. but yeah, I'm just super excited to get the game out and things like that. Have a lot of like ideas for possible future updates and things like that. There's tons of modifiers that were cut.
Tons of
things that were cut just to make sure that, you know, it's a concise game and things like that. But I'd love to explore that in the future and whatnot.
Definitely. Now I want to know what those things are.
I don't know how many levels there are, Ryan.
I don't think he's at liberty to say, Troy.
Over 100.
Can you give us maybe a little tease as to some of the stuff you cut? Sure. Is juicy.
Oh yeah. So one idea that I had that it could work, but it wasn't the best in terms of like multiplayer, was a blob mode. And that's where you started out with a bunch of you. But you were all controlling moving left and like you were controlling everybody. And you're trying to survive with a certain amount of yourself.
So
there was that kind of interesting like development in terms of like how do I have it so that you can craft levels to try and make it so that this blob stays alive
for a long time.
But that was slowly getting into feature creep. And at that point, I was trying to still make the 100 plus levels of the game.
So that just in the time frame that you had, just couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
So what you're saying is you completed the last level yesterday.
Oh my god.
Yes. I didn't really test it, but I just was like, yeah.
You stopped making the game to talk to us to finish it and put it out in a couple days.
Yes, exactly like that.
I appreciate that.
Yep, no problem.
Coming in hot, man, I'm telling you. Oh, that's good.
For the listeners that are listening, I have no idea how games are developed and work. Yeah. I'm sure there's some sort of a process where they got to get it checked ahead of time, but I'm going to go around that. Charles can go around that because he's the man.
Maybe if we do three or four more interviews, you'll figure it out. that's super cool. What were some of the modifiers that got cut?
So there was the blob one. Another modifier that I messed around with, I might go back to, I've been sort of encouraged by the community to go back to, is a Tron light cycle sort of mode.
Ooh.
Where you have a trail and you're trying to enclose
other
players. The first time that I attempted to do this, it was really easy to just trap a player, and then it was just over within less than a second. It was that was really quick. But now I've gotten some ideas from like the community and such to maybe go back and flesh that out and retune some parameters and things like that.
Okay,
that sounds awesome.
That seems like it would also like look really cool on screen.
Oh yeah. Definitely, yeah. One of the things I want to do is have it glow like in Tron.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Awesome.
You just gave Ryan an aneurysm.
Yeah.
He loves like glowy colors.
Glowy, like the retro art style stuff. I just recently redid our logo to fit kind of that scheme, and I'm like a lot of synthwave art-based stuff. I'm super into
awesome
all that shit. Yeah, I don't know that I have any more questions for you. You guys got anything else?
I think I'm tapped out for now.
Tapped out.
Sure. But yeah.
I might end up tweeting at you to find out those level numbers.
Awesome.
I'll keep you updated, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Well, it's been so cool talking to you, Charles. I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and have this conversation with us about HyperDot. And I have Friday and Saturday off from work, so I'm going to do my damnedest to have this interview out our turnaround time track record is not very good. But yeah, we'll try and get this edited and get this out so that way it coincides with the launch of the game when people are, you know, looking it up on YouTube and stuff like that. So yeah, again, thank you, Charles, for talking mm-hmm. to us. Tribe Games here. Tell the listeners one more time where they can find you on social media if they want to get in contact with you.
Sure. Yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter at Tribe Games, or me personally at DarkhazeTG, or you can go to hyper.game.com and then you can check out all the store listings for Steam, Itch, and Xbox, and Windows 10.
All right. Okay. All right. You have a good night, man. I appreciate it again.
Awesome. Thanks, Charles. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. See ya.
See ya.